Recordings are started.
Thank you ever so much. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everybody. Welcome to the GNSO Council meeting on the 19th of July, 2018. Would you please acknowledge your name when I call it? Thank you. Pam Little.
Here.
Donna Austin.
Here.
Rubens Kuhl.
Here.
Keith Drazik.
Here.
Darcy Sudwell. Darcy, we see you in the other connect room. I cannot hear you on audio. Michaela Nalem.
Yep.
Carlos Gutierrez.
Here, thank you.
Thank you. Marie Petullo. Here. Susan Kawaguchi.
Here.
Paul McGrady.
Here.
Philippe Foucault. I don't see Philippe in the Adobe Connect room, and I don't believe he sends an apology. We'll try to ping him by email. Rafik Damak.
Here.
Thank you. Stephanie Perrin. I don't see Stephanie in the Adobe Connect room either. We'll try to get him on Skype. Arsene Tungali.
I'm here, Natalie. Thank you.
Thank you, Arsene. Heather Forrest.
Here, Natalie. Thank you.
I'm Paris. Tony, you tested your audio earlier. We could hear you. Maybe you're on mute.
I'm here.
Thank you, Tony. Tatiana Sofina.
Present. Thank you very much, Natalie.
Thank you. Martin Silva-Valente.
Here.
Aidan Federlin.
Present. Thank you.
Thank you. Syed Ismail Shah.
Yeah, here. Thank you.
Thank you. Sarah Longdonor.
Hey, Natalie. Thank you.
Erica Mann. Erica, I see just joining the Adobe Tech chat. Thank you, Erica. Johan Helsingius.
Here.
Adebi Oladipo. I see Adebi in the Adobe Connect room. I would like to note for the record that Philippe Foucault has just joined us. From staff, we have Marika Koenigs, Julie Headland, Steve Chan, Jason Trubigan, Emily Barabas, Barry Cobb, Errol Yang, Terry Agnew, Sarah Kaplis for technical support, and myself, Matthew Peregrin. I'd like to remind you all to please remember to state your names before speaking for recording purposes and for people listening in on the audio cast. Thank you ever so much, Heather, and it's now over to you.
Thank you very much, Natalie, and welcome everyone to our ordinary GNSO Council meeting for the month of July 2018. We have, of course, a notable and full agenda in front of us today, so I would suggest we go ahead and get started. Item 1.2 in our agenda, updates to statements of interest. Does anyone have an update to notify the Council? Aidan, please.
Finsever, this is Aidan. I made a small correction to my SOI yesterday, and I apologize for not doing this sooner. While reviewing it, I noticed that my declared country of residence was listed as the United Kingdom, and as some members of the Council may know, I relocated to Germany in January, so this was incorrect. I apologize for the oversight, but my SOI has now been corrected to include that. Thanks.
Thanks very much, Aidan, and it's a good reminder to all of us to periodically check our SOI, so thank you, Aidan, for providing us with a good opportunity for that reminder. Any further updates to SOIs that anyone wishes to notify? No, excellent. All right. Item 1.3 is our review of the agenda. Does anyone have any items to add or amend to our agenda? Okay, seeing none, which is very convenient as we have a full one, we'll take our agenda as drafted and work our way through. You'll note item 1.4, the status of the minutes of the extraordinary council meeting on the 12th of June and the minutes of our ordinary council meeting in Panama on the 27th of June have both been duly posted in the timelines required. So I'm up to date on that. With that, that takes us to item 2. Could we pull up the projects list, please? Excellent. Thanks very much. So, as always, the projects list is circulated in redline and in clean form. Prior to the GNSL Council meeting, I will make a note that the only substantive change on the projects list at this particular point in time is the shift of IGO-INGO curative rights from working group, which is Category 4, to Council deliberations, which is Category 5. You'll see that here right on the front page, number 1, that's on the AC room screen. There are, of course, edits, let's say progress edits in relation to other efforts, but that is the only major substantive change to note at this point in time. Does anyone have any questions in relation to the projects list? No, I see no hands, so that's great. And Marika says, to note as well that the same change has occurred for the CCWG Accountability Workstream 2, and that has also moved to Council Deliberation. And, of course, both of those items are on our substantive agenda for today, so we can leave discussion about those until we get to those agenda items. Thanks very much, Marika, for noting that. Any further comments on project list? Seeing none, let's turn to action items. Excellent. Thanks very much. So you will see we have a number of items here that have been completed. We'll focus our attention today on items that are outstanding. The first one of those is the board request in relation to the use of emojis in domain names. Steve Chan has posted a draft letter. You see that only outstanding item is submit letter to the ICANN board. A draft is on the council list, and comments have been requested of councillors by Monday. So this is a reminder that anyone, and as well a thank you to the small team that worked with Steve, any comments in relation to that letter to the board responding to the board's initial request that we consider the matter need to get into that draft by Monday. Before we move on, any questions on that one? McKaylee.
That's just not a question. It's more of a comment. I mean, just the if anybody has any feedback or input, if they could share us, it would be I think the document was already circulated on the council list. Thanks.
Thanks, McKaylee. That's exactly right. Steve did post it to the list. If you look for Steve and emoji in your as you search terms, I'm sure it'll pop right up in your inbox. And thanks very much to Philippe and McKaylee and Martin and Tatiana, the small team that works to put that together. Any further comments on emojis? No? All right. Then let's move to next steps following adoption of ICANN board temporary specification. Indeed, we might even say this is not on the substantive agenda. This is the substantive agenda, certainly something we'll spend quality time on today, so I think we can leave it here for now. You'll note that the only item that remains in this very long list of things that we've done in this particular context is to come back to the RDS PDP and specifically a postmortem from leadership. So depending on how things go today, we can take that up as an action item immediately after this meeting. any questions in relation to that specific aspect of things? Let's leave aside the substance of what we have in the agenda later, but any specific questions on that? All right, I see no hands. Great. Next option, or next item then on the list is short and long-term options to adjust the timeline for specific reviews. Michaela, I've just seen your hand go up. Is it in relation to this one or the previous one?
Sorry, Heather, it's in relation to the previous one. I just noticed on the project list it says receipt of the post-mortem will mark the closure of the RDS PDP. Do we have to vote to close that, or has that work?
Michaela, it's a very good question. So this is Heather. There are really two options here. One is that the council takes an affirmative action. The other is that the council is guided by the PDP. To the extent the PDP presents council with a recommendation, we can act on that. To the extent the council, let's say, wants to act unilaterally, it can do that as well. So those are really the two options in front of us. And what I would propose that we do, we've been putting off the RDS question until after we had the EPDP underway. Depending on how we go today, what I would suggest we do is that leadership work with staff to get a very clear sense of, and indeed with RDS leadership, to get a very clear sense of exactly what those two procedural options look like, and we can present those on the council list for discussion and tee that up for the next council meeting. Would that suit, Michaela?
That's fine.
Cool. Cool. Good question, and good to keep a marker on it, Michaela. So we'll note that as an action item. Great. And Marika's noted in the chat, for those who are following us by audiocast, that RDS leadership appears to be planning to come back to the council following the initiation of the PDP with its recommendations. So that will push us down one of the two paths. So there we go. Excellent. Any further questions on RDS? No. All right. Short-term and long-term options to adjust the timeline for specific reviews. This item is on our substantive agenda today following our motions, so we'll leave this one for now. As is PDP 3.0 on our substantive agenda, which brings us to subpro RPM consolidated timeline. You notice that this work is ongoing. The work of the liaisons with the PDPs to cooperate with the leadership of those respective PDPs to develop timelines. And each of those PDPs works towards, let's say, key milestones. That cooperation will be important. So we'll keep an eye on that. Is there anything, Donna, Paul, or Keith, that needs to be said at the moment in relation to timelines?
Heather, it's Donna. I'm sorry, I'm not in Adobe at the moment.
Donna, go right ahead.
Yeah, thanks, Heather. Donna Austin. So we haven't had a conversation around this for a little while, so it's probably timely that we do so in the next few weeks. There has been some movement, more likely with SubPro and their timeline than the RPM working group, so we do need to have a conversation and see where we're at on this. So we should, Paul, Keith, and I should commit to do that soon. Thanks.
Perfect. Thanks very much, Donna. And that in and of itself serves as an update to us and a notice of what's going on. So thanks very much for raising that. Any further comments, questions, concerns in relation to SubPro RPM consolidated timeline? No, seeing none. Keith is typing into the chat. Excellent. We can move on then to CSC and IFR review. This effort is being led by Donna Austin and by Philippe Foucault in his role as liaison to the CCNSO. Donna or Philippe, is there anything that we need to know at this point in relation specifically to the CSC and IFR review? We also have charter review next.
Heather, it's Donna again.
Go right ahead, Donna.
Thanks, Heather. So Philippe and I met with Debbie and Martin Boyle in Panama We think we have a path forward for how to overcome the potential duplication between the IFR and the CSC effectiveness review requirements, and we're in the process of working on that. So perhaps by the next council meeting we'll have a more fulsome update that we can provide. Thanks.
That's great, Donna. Thank you very much. That's a helpful update in terms of that overlap and resolving that. Any questions for Donna or Philippe? I am noting Philippe's thanks in the chat in relation to that CSC and IFR review. No. Okay, seeing none. Then CSC charter, and Donna, I'm afraid despite the horrible hour for you, I'm going to put you on the spot once more if I can. So I think we need to work together, council leadership, according to this last item, to work on a joint communication with the CCNSO council. I understand Katrina has actually poked us on that one. So if I can add that collectively to our to-do list, Donna and Rafiq, then we will do that. And Donna, anything further that needs to be said in relation to that charter review communication?
It just that the CCNSO also approves the charter amendments in Panama. So we're both on the same page. We just need to finalise that communication. And we're good to go. Thanks, Heather.
Perfect, Donna. That's great. And also good to hear that we're not, let's say, behind in the effort, despite, you know, the focus that we've had on other things. That's brilliant. Any questions then on CSC charter review? No? All right. Also in progress is the updated charter for the Cross-Community Engagement Group on Internet Governance. Again, we have Tatiana and Rafiq, who serve on this effort and are able to inform us. Of course, we knew and foreshadowed to the group that our time over the last few weeks was going to be very much preoccupied by the expedited PEP that we're discussing today, so we fairly well assured them that we wouldn't get to this at Panama, but once we have some progress in relation to the EPDP, we can come back to this, so we'll make a note to do this and follow up when we have, let's say, some breathing room in our agenda. Any questions on that one? All right. The drafting team on the charter related to the next steps for the ICANN procedure of handling WHOIS conflicts with privacy. This is also an item that we said we would return to after the July meeting. You'll note that we've updated this item since the last council meeting to say to be discussed at the August 2018 council meeting, so you can expect to see this on next month's agenda. Any questions in relation to this one? No? All right. ATRT 3 is on our substantive agenda in the form of instructions to the Standing Selection Committee. We can talk about the process of how to move forward from there and get some input from Susan as chair of the Standing Selection Committee at that point. So other than, let's say, discussions that would be happening during our substantive agenda, is there anything we need to mention now? Well, I see no hands on that one, which takes us to IGO-INGO Access Security Rights Protection Mechanisms, which is on our agenda today in the form of a motion. So we can come back to that one we can come back to that one, let's say, after we've worked our way through the agenda today. Finally, the CPIF Consensus Policy Implementation Framework is on our agenda as any other business, so we can talk about that when we get to that. I would also like to note, I apologize, I missed a prod from staff here, that we do need to add one item to any other business, which is the, now I forget what it is. The review of the DAC communique. So we will come back to that question. It normally would have been on our agenda as a motion, and we simply didn't have sufficient time, let's say, to prepare the draft to have it appear on this agenda as a motion. So with your indulgence, I will belatedly add that to any other business. All right, that takes us through action items. We'll leave the action items that relate to the strategic planning session, as there's really nothing that we directly need to point out at this time. We can come back to these in the context of discussing PDP 3.0, which is on our agenda for today. So any final comments or questions before we leave action items? Excellent. I don't see any, so we can move on. Item 3 in our agenda is consent agenda, and we do not have any consent agenda items, which takes us to item number 4, the council vote on the IGO-INGO Access Security Rights Protection Mechanisms PDP Working Group. Before we begin, Article 3.3.3.1 of the GNSO operating procedures require us to have a second for this motion before we begin discussing. Can we have a seconder for this motion? Michele, you're a star. Thank you very much. We'll note that Michele Nalem has seconded this motion. With that, I turn it over to Susan Kawaguchi, the GNSO Council Liaison.
Thank you, Heather. This is Susan Kawaguchi for the record. This PDP has been working for over 4 years now and made substantial headway until about last fall, and then ran into a few hurdles. We were able to work through some of the issues and came to agreement on some of the recommendations, but not all. There were full consensus on some of the recommendations, but the last one, there was definitely dispute. So, but the group has finished its work and provided a final report. This motion is just to send this report to the council. And but please note that there are several minority reports included. So when you are reading and reviewing the report, please note that those will be attached. And other than that, the work for this PDP is complete. So should I just read the resolved clause?
Go right ahead, Susan. Thanks very much.
I'm just trying to make it large enough that I can see it. Resolved. The GNSO Council thanks the working group for its hard work and acknowledges receipt of the final report in view of the need to consider the topic of curative rights to protections for IGOs in the broader context of appropriate overall scope of protection for all IGO identifiers, including IGO acronyms. The GNSO Council intends to review this final report from the IGO-INGO Access to Curative Rights Mechanisms PDP Working Group between now and its August 2018 meeting, with a view toward developing a possible path forward that will also facilitate the resolution of the outstanding inconsistencies between GAC advice and prior GNSO policy recommendations on the overall scope of IGO protections. The GNSO Council confirms its intention to act on the recommendations that have been developed by the working group at the earliest opportunity following its review and deliberations on these topics. To this end, ICANN staff is directed to inform the ICANN board and the GAC that the IGO-INGO Access to Curative Rights Mechanism PDP Working Group has completed its work and forward a copy of the final report to them. Are there any questions? Heather, please go ahead.
Thanks, Susan. Just a question. So I understand based on the council list, we've received one minority report in relation to this to this final report. And I understand there are some other minority reports that are in the works but haven't yet been received. Do we need to work out a plan for how those can be communicated? Let's say, assuming we adopt the motion here, the motion essentially says we're going to submit all of this information to the board in view of all the inconsistencies that we have. What do we do, I suppose, in relation to the outstanding minority reports, if there are some? Thanks.
So if you'll see in the chat that, and Steve sent these out, sent out an email sometime this week, there are three minority statements that are attached to the report as annexes, I think, or appendixes, I'm not sure. And so those will be submitted. There could be another minority report that is filed, and I'm not sure that we do have a process for that.
Thanks, Susan. This is Heather. Sorry, I didn't want to interrupt. So I appreciate that. I think what we ought to do, given that we don't have a clear process here, is that when that report is received, it should be communicated by staff in the same manner as the final report and the submitted minority reports have been. So I think that will assure that that happens.
That makes sense. You know, if the community has a voice, then and go to the work of drafting a minority report, we, you know, seems like we could at least forward it on to the board, too.
Thanks very much, Susan. Anyone else have questions for Susan? Susan, anything further from you before we take this one to a vote?
Nope, I'm just glad that we were able to wrap this one up. It looks like Donna's got her hand up.
Donna, over to you.
Yeah, thanks, Heather, and thanks, Susan. Well, one question that's kind of burning in the back of my mind is, what's the path that we're going to develop for resolving the outstanding inconsistencies? I know that, you know, we're tight for time on this call, but I think the sooner we can have that conversation and understand what that is, you know, all the better. Because I expect that it will require a conversation of some sort between the council and the board. Thanks, Heather, and thanks, Susan, for all the work you've done on this. We've certainly appreciated. Thanks.
I'll let you answer that one, Heather. I have no idea what the next steps are. And thank you, Donna, for the kind words.
Cheers, Susan. I was holding my breath, hoping you were going to answer. Look, here's what I think we ought to do. Donna's very right to say that this is a discussion that needs to be had. The logic on the motion, just so everyone's very clear, is we have not faced this type of problem before, where we have a final report that, let's say, has directly conflicting already GAC advice and is already the subject of other board deliberations. Hence, this motion is designed around some of the discussions that we had with the board in the PDP 3.0 discussions to say we need to work out a mechanism for what to do in this situation. Now, this situation has arrived. We have not yet worked out that plan, so this is something that we need to do. I would suggest that we come around to that before the next council meeting, and Mary's going to provide us with more insight here. Mary.
Thanks, Heather and everyone. This is Mary from staff. Apologies for my voice, as I'm somewhat under the weather. Just 2 points here. The first is to the minority statement. There was an agreed deadline for receipt of minority statements to be incorporated into the final report. There was one member who indicated somewhat near the end of the deadline that he would not be filing his report by that deadline and intended to file it for before the council before its next meeting. The advice of the working group chair on this is that because of the deadline and because other working group members have actually sent in their minority statements for the deadline, then anything received after the deadline by any working group member will not form part of the official formal final report. But, of course, that member and any other member is free to send his or her views to the council in the form of a letter or other communication. So I just wanted to get that on the record as the advice of the working group chair on that particular point. On the point about the possible next steps, as Susan has said and as Heather and others have acknowledged, this is somewhat uncharted territory. The difference here is that the council has not yet voted on the recommendations in this report, and so the bylaws process is not yet triggered. There are several possibilities that the council may want to consider, and as Heather said, this is something to discuss further between now and your next meeting. One possibility may be the kind of facilitated discussion that took place in respect of the previous IGO policy recommendations, and those took place, I believe, about a year ago, facilitated by a former board member between representatives of the GNSO and the GAC and IGOs. So just an idea for you to consider as you think about this between now and August. Thank you, Heather.
Mary, thank you very much. And I very sincerely apologize for having, posited an idea that was contrary to the directions of the PDP chair. I, in all of circumstances, think that it's best to defer to the expertise of the chair, as they're closest to this. So to the extent that the chair has established a decision in relation to what happens to reports that are filed late, then by all means, my view is we need to support that. So thank you very much for correcting the record, and my very sincere apologies to the chair and the PDP for sticking my foot in it. So this one is to be continued, but in its present form, are there any further comments or questions before we vote on the motion? All right, I see none. May I ask, does anyone have objections to a voice vote in relation to this motion? Okay, Aiden's noting in the chat voice vote is okay, and I'm not seeing any hands. I'm not seeing any objection symbols in the AC room. So I'm not going to ask you to take us through a voice vote, please.
Yes, of course. Would anyone like to abstain from this motion? Please say aye. Hearing no one, would anyone like to object to this motion? Please say aye. Hearing no one, would all those in favor of the motion? Please say aye.
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 Thank you very much. With no objection, no abstention, the motion passes. Over to you, Heather.
Thanks very much, Natalie. And Susan, to echo Donna's comments, thank you very much for all your hard work here. Let's also express our thanks to Petter Rinforth, the chair and prior chair or prior co-chair, Phil Cohen as well. So we will then move forward, as the motion indicates, with informing the ICANN board and the GAC and progressing our discussions here, so to be continued. Thanks very much, everyone. Let's then move to the much-anticipated item 5 on our GNSO Council agenda, which is the Council vote on the initiation of the expedited policy development process on the ICANN board temporary specification on GTLD registration data. Again, under Article 3.3.3.1 of the Council procedures, before we begin discussing the motion, we need a second.
This is McKaylee. I'll second that.
Thank you. Thank you very much, McKaylee. So we'll note pleased that Michele has seconded the motion. So this is a motion which will be very familiar to all of us, having lived, breathed, and eaten the EPDP charter and initiation request for the past 10 weeks. We have in front of us a motion with four resolve clauses. You'll note that those point to the EPDP initiation request and the EPDP team charter, as have been circulated on the GNSO Council list. We also have item three, and that deals with the chair of the EPDP team and the recommendation that was posted by the selection panel earlier in the week. I suggest we take each of these, the topic of each of these resolved clauses, one by one. I'll read the resolved into the record, and then we can go through and discuss these. So any objections to my reading the resolved clauses in? All right, I see no objection. No, I see no objections. Resolves, one, the GNSO Council hereby approves the EPDP initiation request and as such initiates the EPDP. Resolve, two, the GNSO Council approves the EPDP team charter and appoints insert name as a GNSO Council liaison to the EPDP team on a temporary specification for GTLD registration data. Resolve, three, the GNSO Council hereby appoints name as the chair of the EPDP team. Resolve, four, the GNSO Council directs staff to communicate the results of this motion to the GNSO SGs and Cs, as well as ICANN SOs and ACs, and to make arrangements for the EPDP team to commence its deliberations as soon as feasible. That is the motion in front of us. Let's begin with one and two, the initiation request and the EPDP team charter. Are there any comments, questions, concerns that anyone would like to raise at this time in relation to the draft of the initiation request and the team charter as posted at the council list? Michele, over to you.
Thanks, Heather. Michele for the record. Look, I just think, you know, we've had intense discussions, intense debates. As per the kind of multi-stakeholder model, we all hate us equally, so I think this is probably the best we're going to get. We've had plenty of backwards and forwards. There's been give, there's been take. We need to move this forward. Thanks.
Thank you, Michele. I think that's a very fair summary of what it's taken to get us to this point. Any further comments, questions in relation to the text of the initiation request or the team charter themselves? Stephanie.
Thanks very much, Stephanie Perrin, for the record. I understand the merits of moving forward. Goodness knows we're running out of time. But I wonder if we could consider a remedy in the event that the compromise that we have made in order to facilitate work on the, in air quotes, uniform model for access, if any of those compromises that we have made result in unuseful discussions during the discussion of the interim spec, what's the remedy? Can the EPD come back to council and request a change in scope? In other words, what if those of us who objected to the simultaneous work on the two and who objected to removing the concept of phasing out and instead focusing on answering core questions, what if we were right? Just a question. If we could address my concern, I'd feel a lot better about voting this through. Thank you.
Thanks, Stephanie. Michele.
Thanks, Madam Chair. Michele for the record. Stephanie, if you look at the deliverables and timeframes, there's the way that the language there covers this, I think, resolves your issue. Now, if, for example, members of the working group were to try and, I don't know, jump ahead and try to address that something out of sequence, then it would be up to the chair of the working group to rein that in. So I think that's part of the reason why the choice of the chair and their neutrality and everything else was so important. But I think what we have here in the terms of the deliverables and the framework and everything else means that, you know, the temporary specification, the core issue that we need to deal with can be dealt with within the time frame that is needed to deal with it, and yet there is the concession that these other things will be dealt with, but they don't have to happen within that strict timeline. So I think it's perfectly fine, but, you know, your concerns are noted.
Thanks, Michele, very much. Philippe.
Thanks, Philippe Foucault, the record. Yes, indeed, that's a discussion we had within the ICTP. There were concerns over the fact that the charter might be a bit broad. That is the uniform access, but also other things. In the spirit of moving forward, we don't, as Stephanie said, we don't want this to be a hindrance or a reason to delay this. But the ISBCP was adamant that should there be significant disagreement within the team to the way forward, then they should come back to council for guidance. But I think that's an understanding that's within the charter. But just for the record, that's something that a concern that is shared by some of the consistencies, such as the ISBCP. Thank you.
Thanks, Philippe. So based on those interventions, Stephanie, thanks for raising the point. I think we're all on the same page there, and it's very, very clear that, you know, we put a great value on that neutrality of the chair, and likewise the power of the chair to come back to council. And indeed, as I put into the chat, that ability to come back to council is integral to our role as the manager of the EPDP. So all of those things, not only baked into the charter, but baked into the bylaws. Any further questions on the text of the EPDP initiation request or the EPDP charter? Of course, the product of many, many, many hours of work here. So brilliant that we've gotten to this point and don't have too many lingering questions. All right, without foreclosing, let's say returning to those two, can I invite us to consider the blank that needs to be amended? As maker of the motion, I need to propose an amendment here for the appointment of the GNSO Council Liaison. Of course, a very important job here, and likewise integral to our role as manager of the process. Do we have any volunteers? Do we have any suggestions for this role? Rafiq, please.
Okay, thanks, Heather. With regard to the role of GNSO Council Liaison, I put my name if people think I can take that role, but also I'm looking forward to hear if others want to volunteer putting my name for this one.
Rafiq, that's very kind of you to volunteer. We thank you for that, and I think it's a marvelous idea in the sense of I think there's some brilliant continuity in council leadership having that that responsibility or a member of council leadership. Donna, over to you, please.
Yeah, thanks, Heather. Donna Austin. We have had some conversation among council leadership, and we think that continuity is going to be important for, this EPDP. So Rafiq will be staying on council through October. So I would support Rafiq if he's interested in fulfilling this role. Thanks.
Thanks, Donna, very much. And as do I wholeheartedly. Lend my support to Rafiq, and think he'll do an excellent job in this role in terms of keeping council and council leadership current and future apprised of what's going on. So, Martin, thanks for your plus one in the chat. Any objections to, and I see tremendous, Rafiq, the support is that. So, Keith, Stephanie, Paul, Philippe, that's brilliant. And so I then need to propose as maker of the motion that we amend resolved to insert the name Rafiq Damak into the liaison role. And Michaela, as seconder, you need to approve that change as well.
Michaela, consider it approved.
Marvelous. Thanks very much, Michaela. All right. Let's move on then to Resolve Clause 3. The GNSO Council hereby approves name as the chair of the PDP team. The small team met very, very mindful of the lengthy discussions that had been had within the drafting team on the weighty responsibility that panel had and the need, let's say, to balance all sorts of concerns by ensuring that the group came to a unanimous decision. I will say that on behalf of the selection panel, we received three really strong applications, and each applicant brought their own special skills and expertise to the application and to their vision of the role. It was, however, unanimous within the selection panel, which, just to remind everyone, it involves myself and Rafiq representing council leadership. Donna recused herself on the announcement of the EOI applicants. And then Susan Kawaguchi and Maxime Alzova as the chair and vice chair of the Standing Selection Committee. So we came to a unanimous recommendation that Kurt Pritz would be really the ideal candidate in terms of his skills and experience and background and his explicit answering of the criteria as they were advertised, in particular skills in relation to facilitating dialogue and discussion, knowledge of GNSO procedures and being able to work within those procedures so that the council could maintain its role as manager of the PDP, fundamentally, you know, respecting the role that council and the GNSO have here. So those were key points that came out in our deliberations. And I'll ask Susan, as chair of the SSC, if there's anything she'd like to say here as well.
Thank you, Heather. Susan Kawaguchi, for the record. I don't really have comments, but I do think that we all worked together well and had a good discussion and evaluated the candidates thoroughly and came to the right decision.
Thanks very much, Susan. And to pick up on Anne-Marie's very timely comment in the chat about volunteers, so, you know, we emphasized to the candidates who were not successful that we very much hope that they would consider bringing their enthusiasm in relation to the EPDP through as a member of the EPDP team. And I very much hope that they will consider that as a path forward because, again, they brought some, you know, really unique attributes and strong skill sets and could contribute those in a very useful way to the EPDP. So that is a public acknowledgement of that fact, and we thank everyone who applied. You know, it's not an easy thing to do, answering an EOI like that. So it's an honor to have received the applications that we did. Any further comments on this? So as maker of the motion, I propose that we amend Resolve 3 to replace name with Kurt Pritz. McKaylee, any objections?
Can I object just to upset you? No, joking aside. No, that's fine.
You're a good man. You couldn't upset me, McKaylee. I promise. Any objections from councillors to the amendment to Resolve 3? McKaylee.
Heather, it's McKaylee. I'm not going to object. No, just I think we needed to find a good neutral chair. I think we've done that. Now just a matter of seeing if Kurt is able to deliver. So the pressure is on Kurt.
Thanks, McKaylee. Just noting we don't want to scare him away before we put him into the role. So, very good. All right. That takes us through the resolve clauses. Is there anything anyone would like to say before we put this motion to a vote? Okay. I see no hands. And comments in the chat are not in relation to objections or comments here. I'm going to propose, in light of the significance of all of this to all of us and the very lengthy discussions that we've had over the course of some time now, that we put this through to a roll call vote unless we don't think we need it. There's a request for a roll call vote. That's acknowledged. So we will then go through a roll call vote. Natalie, could you take us through that, please?
Thank you very much, Heather. And as a reminder, for this motion to pass, it needs a supermajority vote. I will call out names. Please reply by aye or no or abstain, depending on how you'd like to vote. Thank you very much. Carlos Gutierrez.
Aye.
Rubens Kuhl.
Aye.
Aidan Fedeline.
Aye, Aidan.
Philippe Foucault.
Aye.
Donna Austin.
Aye.
Paul McGrady.
Aye.
Martin Silver-Valens.
Aye.
Rafik Damak.
Aye.
Syed Ismail Shah.
Aye.
McKaylee Nalem.
Aye.
Pam Little.
Aye.
Susan Kawaguchi.
Aye.
Tatiana Tropina.
I would like to abstain, thank you.
Would you care to share your reasons for abstaining, Tatiana?
Yes, thank you very much. I hope it will not delay the call, the vote. Shall I share them now or shall I share them after the vote is finished?
Procedure would like to share them now, please, Tatiana.
Then I will share them now. I would like to say that while I really highly value this work that has been done in such a short time, and I really want to thank everyone who worked on this, especially small drafting teams, I cannot vote for this chapter. I cannot vote no, of course, because I really want this process to move forward, but I cannot vote yes for this document because, in my opinion, it is not properly worded, and instead of setting the scope of this EPDP, it sets just multiple possibilities to get the work sidetracked. First of all, and we expressed many concerns that the Part G of the scope section has not been properly worded. I also think that it doesn't address all the concerns that non-commercial stakeholder group expressed in the drafting process. For example, the Part B
of the subsection J1 of the section J uses very vague terms. It poses the questions that, first of all, imply by default that the issues related to intellectual property protection, for example, or consumer protection require the disclosure of personal data. Secondly, it puts cybercrime investigations together in the same basket with the intellectual property protection and consumer protection. And as a criminal lawyer who is working in the field of frameworks for cybercrime investigations, this version just failed me. I do not see the reasons to put them together. And especially the third question is even more vague. It refers to the provision of access, which is based on legitimate interests. And what is this? It can be anything. And if this EPDP group is to come with any response, what kind of scope is this? Shall the group come up with exhaustive list of legitimate interests and corresponding frameworks, or shall the group just answer this question in general? It is totally not clear to me. And so I really think that this text in subsection J, instead of clearly outlining the scope of this EPDP, provides for as many interpretations as possible, and this can delay the work. And secondly, I also think that we are setting a precedent by giving other ACs and SOs the same weight in reaching consensus in this process. I think that de facto it is now CCWG. And I think that this policy development process on a very important for GNSO issue has GNSO as its home. And while, yeah, so I do believe that while the participants... I'm sorry, I hear the echo. So I understand the importance of participation of GAC and ALAC, but I do not understand why the group is suggested to be populated in equal numbers by the part of the community which has no stake in who is or this EPDP whatsoever. And I think that we are setting a precedent here by giving away this important process just for the sake of unachievable and unnecessary equality. And I would like to highlight that my stakeholder group and I personally will contribute to this EPDP as much as I can, no matter what the composition is. But I just want to have this on the record. So while I don't want this process to fail, I really can vote yes for this motion. Thank you very much. So abstain.
Thank you very much, Tatiana. And I would like to record that Aidan did abstain from this vote, and I misheard him earlier. So, Aidan, please provide your reasons now. Thank you.
Thank you for that. And I apologize. I must have muted my line too soon before. It is with great reluctance that I must abstain from voting on this motion, and it is for many of the reasons that Tatiana just outlined. I greatly appreciate the work that everyone has done in drafting this charter. However, I have deep concerns about the charter that is before us today in the second resolved clause. I believe that Section J includes, first and foremost, questions that unnecessarily expand the scope of this EPDP and put perceived answers rather than genuine, open-ended questions into this very important document. Overall, I think this section of the charter scope is unnecessary and will not allow the EPDP team to complete their work in a timely manner. There was never a consensus that Section J should be in the scope, and the NCSG has made our objections to a clear for 3 weeks now. I have reviewed the mailing list for the small drafting team, and I feel very comfortable saying that. Even if we were to accept that the questions in Section J in Part 2 should form a part of the EPDP's work, these questions are not in the correct location in the scope. Surely the questions that follow in Section K in Part 3 would need to be discussed before Section J could reasonably be answered. I think we are doing a disservice to the members of the EPDP by burdening them with a scope that is not clear, not sufficiently focused, and which will require that questions to do with access be litigated in Part 2 and then again in Part 4 where these questions actually belong. This is not efficient. In addition, we know that ICANN.org is engaged in a parallel process seeking, quote-unquote, clarity from the data protection authorities to receive their advice on how to proceed in relation to access. I think it would be a more effective use of the EPDP team's time and resources to not address this question until such time as ICANN.org has received and shared with the EPDP team the advice that it has received from the data protection authority. As their recommendations, as the enforcement bodies, are what will be followed by ICANN anyway. And finally, as Tatiana noted, I'm troubled by the volume of participation in the CPDP by the other supporting organizations and advisory committees. While I do see a clear role for the GAC to participate here, I do not agree with permitting such significant participation from other members of the ICANN community and extending invitations to so many others, we weakening the GNSS balance and by extension our role in the broader ICANN ecosystem. This is not a cross-community working group. This is a GNSO-initiated policy development process. And it is for these reasons that I'm abstaining today. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Aidan. This is noted. Returning to the vote, please. Darcy Sadwell?
Aye.
Marie Petullo? Marie, you might be on mute.
I'm so sorry, I was. Aye.
Thank you. Heather Forrest?
Aye.
Arsene Tangali? I know we're having issues getting hold of Arsene, and he typed his vote, which was yes for the record, in the Adobe Connect Room chat. Stephanie Perrin?
I would like to abstain from the vote.
Thank you very much, Stephanie. Would you like to share your reasons?
Yes, and I think that Tatiana and Aidan have eloquently expressed many of my reasons. There is one issue that I would like to add to those, and that is that it is plainly evident from the way that we have approached this question and the EPDP that we have not yet, as ICANN and as the GNSO addressing the problem of GDPR. Some of us don't think it's a problem. Some of us think it's an improvement. But at any rate, we have not addressed the issue with the benefit of the advice that we have received from the data commissioners, in other words, with the perspective of data protection law. And I feel that it's long overdue to address these concerns. I don't wish to delay the progress. We have to get busy. I have a remedy, and I will try and bring remedies throughout the work on the EPDP. We have a volunteer from the Council of Europe to assist us in legal interpretation. That would be Peter Kimpian, a data protection lawyer from the Hungarian Data Protection Office, who has worked extensively with the Council of Europe on GDPR and on Convention 108 and the revised Convention 108. They have offered to assign him to. I would recommend that the Council accept that offer because at the moment we have a charter that is not framed the way it should be in terms of data protection analysis, and we need to remedy this. And I share with both Aidan and Tatiana the concerns that we have many members that are turning this into a cross-community working group, but none of them who could are bringing a data protection expertise to the table. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Stephanie. Returning to the vote, Anthony Harris?
Aye.
Keith Drazik?
Aye.
Thank you very much. So for the contracted party house, we have 7 votes in favor and no objections, no abstentions. For the non-contracted party house, we have 10 votes in favor, no objections, and 3 abstentions. The motion passes with 100% vote in contracted party house and 76.92% vote in the non-contracted party house. Thank you very much. Over to you, Heather.
Yes. Thanks very much, Natalie. So for the avoidance of doubt, we'll point out the language that we've inserted into the agenda here that remarks taking this action is within the GNSO's remit as outlined in ICANN's bylaws. as the GNSO quote, shall be responsible for developing and recommending to the board substantive policies relating to generic topical domains and other responsibilities of the GNSO as set forth in these bylaws, Article 11.1. Furthermore, the action complies with the requirements set out in Annex A1 GNSO expedited policy development process of the ICANN bylaws, as well as the EPDP manual. Rafiq, please.
Thanks, Heather. This is Rafiq speaking. I just will make a short comment here. So just to clarify, I think you heard a different position, and that show kind of the diversity we have in NCAG regarding this this matter. But I can ensure that the NCAG is ready to participate in the APDP process, even when, I mean, my colleague expressed some concern in different area, but we the goal is to participate in the APDP and to we really defend that the GNSO as a policy manager and to defend its role in such process. So that's what I can say. I can ensure that the participation will happen, and representatives will be appointed and so on. So just to alleviate any concerns that maybe with regard to the vote, but just I think that show how we are diverse in terms of position.
Thanks, Rafiq. Very well said.
Michele. Thanks, Heather. It's Michele. Just on the a quick comment following up on Stephanie's thoughts about Peter Kempion. My understanding is there's nothing in the charter to stop NCSG from appointing somebody who is not a member of their stakeholder group. So if they want to appoint him, they can. Thanks.
Thanks, Michele. Any further comments on this one? If not, I'm going to close this off with some remarks. You put any comments in the chat? No. All right. So for the purposes of the folks joining us by audiocast and for the ICANN community at large, this is, make no mistake, a major milestone for the GNSO Council and really ICANN as a whole. It's proof that the multi-stakeholder model works in the GNSO, and I think Rafiq has summed that up very, very well in his comments just now. So to all of those out there who have ever doubted our ability to do what we just did, to come together as a cohesive and effective functioning organ of ICANN, here is the proof. The process is not easy. In fact, it is really rather difficult, but it works. We work. It's, you know, we need to remark here that this is uniquely our achievement. From start to finish, the GNSO Council has responsibly carried out its obligations under the bylaws. I felt very strongly about including that bylaws language in the motion because I think this is a watershed moment for us. We're really, you know, fully acknowledging our responsibility, and it's the first time that we do so as members of the empowered community. And we will continue to do so throughout the life of the EPDP. I think we can all walk away and feel enormously proud of what has been achieved here today together in only 12 weeks, and it's so beautifully summed up by the statements that have been read in the objections and all of the comments that have been made. Let's close this chapter by wishing Kirk Prince, as chair of the EPDP, and all the participants on the EPDP team our very, very best wishes for a collaborative, constructive, and not least timely outcome. And with that, folks, we have done something serious here. Thank you very much. It's hard to move on in the agenda. Sam, I suspect you are. That takes us to the next item in our agenda, which, Donna, I'm so sorry that you have to follow that. But item six is our discussion on short and long-term options to adjust the timeline for specific reviews and organizational reviews. So back to day-to-day business. Donna, over to you.
Thanks, Heather. So short-term and long-term review options. Some of you might recall that in San Juan, there was a lot of discussion around the ICANN budget, and Joran was keen to find opportunities to, take away some of the cost for the budget over the coming years. As a result of community discussion, one of the options that was put on the table was that perhaps there is a way to stagger the specific reviews and the organisational reviews that are required in the ICANN bylaws. So what ICANN has done was put out two option papers. One was on the short-term options, and you might recall that that related specifically to what to do with the ATRT3 and also the RDS who is to review team. ICANN had to backtrack on the short-term options because the RDS who is to team had already kicked off their work, so it didn't make sense to have an option paper that suggested that work not proceed. So that was taken off the table. So all we have in terms of the short-term options is for the ATRT3, and those options are, and I will provide something more fulsome to the list following this call. The options for the short-term is, that work begin as soon as feasible, and the estimated timeline was July 2018, so I think we're past that. The second one was to limit the review to implementation of prior recommendations, so that's a second option. And I think this is in light of the fact that there's substantive work being done on accountability mechanisms as a result of the CCWG, so restricting it to the implementation of prior recommendations seem to make sense. And then there's delay until perhaps June 2019 to enable some time to consider the recommendations from the CCWG workstream 2. So they're the options that are on the table. The first one, there would be no savings. The second one, there's a saving of $250,000. And then the third one, there's a saving of $320,000. So bear in mind that this isn't really a saving. This is just pushing the work out until 2019, so it doesn't show up in the 2018 budget. So they're the short-term options, and I'll put that to the list to see, try to get a sense of what councillors consider would be the best option in that regard. The longer-term options are a conversation, as I said, around, bearing in mind that the primary aim of what ICANN has done here is to try to save money by not having seven reviews happen in 1 year. So they're trying to stagger these things to push them out. And I have to recognise that Carlos has helped me in relation to reviewing the two items that were put out for public comment. And I think Carlos's approach is the right one. What ICANN has done is suggested a staggering of these reviews primarily for to overcome a budgeting problem. But what they haven't done is gone to the, source of the problem. So Carlos has correctly identified that the specific reviews and the organisational reviews should not be lumped into the one bucket because they are very different reviews and have a different requirement. The specific reviews should be considered on their own as a separate issue. Carlos is recommending that, you know, one of the things that would be important for those specific reviews is that they are kept to a 12-month time frame. I don't know if some of you are aware, but we're still waiting on the CCT, so the Competition Consumer Trust review team, to finalise their final report, and that's been outstanding, I think, for about 8 months at least now. So I'm not sure what's holding that up, but there has to be a firm requirement that the review be done within the 12-month period it's allocated. I'll also say on the specific review reviews as well, some of you may recall that ICANN put out for comment some time ago, I think it's called Operational Guidelines for Conducting the Specific Reviews, and that work hasn't been finalised either, and I think that's an important consideration when we think about, you know, whether it makes sense to change the timing of those reviews. So I would, in any council comments, I think we need to tie that back to the other. On the organisational side of things, most of you would be aware that the GNSO is at the tail end of implementing recommendations from the GNSO review that started, and I don't have the date, but I think it's over 2 years ago that process was kicked off. What I would like to include in our comments is just a timeline of how long that took and what we as council think would be a reasonable time frame for kicking off the next one. So I think there's a requirement that it's 18 months or 2 years from the implementation of the recommendations from the previous one. But I think there's an opportunity here for us to take a look at that from the GNSO Council perspective and think about what we think would be reasonable in terms of kicking off the next one. And I think we should include that in our comments. The other thing that Carlos raised on the organisational reviews is that there needs to be some kind of benchmarking or calibration of those reviews. You know, I'm very much aware that the ALAC review, from specifically from the ALAC perspective, wasn't done well and reflected from the ALAC perspective a misunderstanding of what the ALAC does and how it works. So if we're getting expertise, or if ICANN's getting outside expertise into doing these reviews and they're not adequately conducting the reviews, then something needs to be done about that. So we need to understand what the problem is there in order to fix it. So I think the comments that Carlos and I will prepare aren't going to be straight down the line on, yes, we agree that, you know, it would make sense to have one specific review and two organisational reviews in any 12-month period. I think it needs to go deeper than that, and that's what we intend to do. So the timeline for this is the 31st of July, so hopefully if Carlos and I can get our collective act together, we'll have comments, excuse me, on the council list early next week for consideration. And I think the path forward, Heather, is if there's no objection, we'll be able to submit those on behalf of the council. And I apologise. I had hoped to have some kind of outline to the council list before this meeting, but other things overtook that. But safe to say, Carlos and I have had a conversation. I think we have a path forward, and if it's acceptable to the rest of the council based on what I've just said, we'll go ahead and prepare those comments for consideration. Thanks, Heather.
Yes, thanks, Donna, to you and Carlos for the, you know, extremely comprehensive thoughts there, and entirely understandable that you didn't have the opportunity to get something to the list. We do need to get something to the list that say as a matter of formal process, so that everyone can have a look, let's say, and express any comments. So we will look forward to that. Are there any objections to that as a path forward? And Don is asking a very valid question. So Aidan, before we come to you, let's just follow up and see Carlos is typing. Make sure that Carlos, as the other person involved in that effort, has an opportunity to speak here. No, Carlos is back to the drawing board, and we will meet the deadline. So great. Thanks very much, Carlos. Aidan, over to you.
Thanks, Heather. This is Aidan. And just to be clear, not an objection, and thank you very much for that, Donna. I just wanted to put forward a perspective on the short-term reviews in the hope that perhaps this could be reflected in the Council's comments, or if not, at least this is my personal position here. So while I understand the rationale behind ICANN-ORG's proposal for postponing the ATRT-3 review, I would be unable to support options B or C, and I would hope that the Council would support option A that was proposed, option A being that the review goes ahead as planned. And the reasons being, I find the arguments that ICANN-ORG put forward rather disingenuous. They claim to be delaying the review because of community capacity concerns, but this is difficult for me to believe. If ICANN-ORG did care, they would not have thrown at us five public comments on the one day like they did when they published this particular request for comments. I think that this is more born out of a desire to delay accountability commitments and not the community's convenience. The community is always going to be strained. The volunteers are always going to be exhausted. I can't envision personally any point in the future where we will have volunteers that will have no other professional burdens. And as Donna noted, this is not about cost savings. So I would like to encourage us to advocate that the short-term reviews go ahead as planned. Thanks.
Thanks, Aidan. Carlos.
Yes, thank you very much, Aidan. I would not ascribe any bad faith, but I think the question, what can we do in the short term and what can we do in the long term, is the wrong question. We certainly have a problem. We have to fix it, but we have to go beyond the pure resources, being volunteers, time, and money, and staff. I mean, this is too simple. I mean, we have to dig a little bit deeper. And as Donna said, we have to strictly look at organizational reviews separate from the specific reviews and approach it from another corner. I really support your thoughts about the accountability review. And but let's give us a few days, and we will come with a comprehensive approach, a little bit different, not long term and short term, and we hope to get a good feedback from you guys. Thank you very much, Aidan.
Thanks very much, Carlos, and Aidan for your comments there as well. Any further comments on this one? Otherwise, we will adopt the path forward that's been proposed and put this to the council list. And to the extent, bear in mind as well, if SGs and Cs are commenting, that would happen through a separate process. This is really just council. So again, we're in that situation of council making comments on something that the SGs and Cs might also otherwise have done. No, excellent. Well, no, Tatiana said exactly the right thing there in the chat. Thank you very much to Donna and Carlos. Carlos, your hand is up. Is that an old hand before we move on?
Sorry, it's an old hand.
Cool. Thanks, Carlos. All righty. That takes us then to item 7, which is discussion of the CCWG Accountability Workstream 2 final report, and we have with us Thomas Rickert, who is co-chair of that effort, and we also have, I believe, some of our GNSO representatives on of that effort on the line as well. What I would suggest that we do, Thomas, is focus in particular on the things that council needs to know in order to inform itself adequately for next steps. So with that, over to you, Thomas.
Thanks very much, Heather. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everyone. This is Thomas Rickert speaking. And I haven't prepared a long presentation because I trust that everyone heard hopefully read the CCWG Workstream 2 recommendations. We've put out individual reports for a public comment which came out of the sub-teams. We've put those together into one big report, put that out for public comment to check whether the community found any inconsistencies, and there were none. And now we've put everything into our final package. And this is probably the area where I should spend a minute or two and explain what happened, so the council know exactly what the difference is between draft final report or the aggregation of all the sub-team reports versus the version that has now been circulated to the chartering organizations is. And that is that we received a heads up from the ICANN board a couple of months back, and they said that they did have issues with a total of 4 recommendations out of the almost 100 recommendations coming out of our cross-community working group, and that they would probably be see themselves forced to point to global public interest considerations and potentially reject our report on the basis thereof, which is why we sat together with a sub-team of the board, rapporteurs from our team as well as the co-chairs in Puerto Rico, and we looked whether actually these concerns that the board raised are such that require us to, you know, either stand firm on our original recommendations or reopen the discussions on our recommendations, which, as you know, have gone through public comment and CCWG consensus calls before. So what we turned out doing is we thought that the concerns that the board raised could be sorted out by offering so-called implementation guidance so that the board or ICANN staff, as it operationalizes our recommendations, know how these need to be read. So we tried to come up with guidance on how to implement, how to read our recommendations. And this is not far from what will probably be offered by the implementation oversight team that we've constituted over the years when our report and our recommendations are being operationalized. So we're just offering this guidance at the outset so that the board knows how the recommendations need to be read, the community knows how this needs to be read, and the expectations are transparent to everyone. So that's what we did between the version that you saw and the version that we have now circulated to you. And the guidance that we offered was relating to the Ombuds Advisory Panel with respect to transparency of board deliberations. They were relating to government engagement and ultimately to open contracting. So I'm not sure whether I should go into glorious detail. I have shared a slide deck that we've used to inform the community at a high interest session in Panama a couple of weeks back with Natalie, who I'm sure will be able to circulate that slide deck to the council list, so that you can go through more details of those implementation guidelines, should you wish so. Now what we hope the board will do is, what the council will do is approve our final report as one of the chartering organizations. We've asked the other chartering organizations to do the same by Barcelona, but you don't have to wait that long, obviously. And then hopefully the board will also adopt our recommendations quickly. And what I can say for full disclosure is that I've reached out to ICANN and the CFO that I think once this is all through, the community that's been working so hard on this Herculean task really deserves a good CCWG accountability. So you are one of the roadblocks that is in the way between us today and the party. The Genocide Council, the charging organization, please, if you have any questions, or on the report itself.
Perfect. Thanks very much. Sorry, go ahead. I wasn't sure if I lost you, Thomas. Go ahead.
No, I'm still there.
Good stuff. Thomas, are you happy to take questions?
I'm more than happy to take questions.
Super. So, anyone have questions for Thomas? Thomas, you might be off the hook. Hey, Thomas, if we have questions after the fact, bearing in mind the timing of this meeting is a bit rough for folks who aren't in Europe, and we've had a pretty big day here leading up to this. If folks have questions, let's say, after today, how best to get them to you?
I would suggest that you write to my email address. That is thomas@rikard.net. Most of you will have the email address. Copying acct-staff@icann.org on that email, then it will go to the excellent staff that supports us, and then we can ensure that this is dealt with high priority.
Super, Thomas. That's very helpful. And what we might do is just circulate that on the council list just so everybody has it. Thomas, any last words from you? It doesn't look like we have any hands.
No, I just thought there would be questions. Sorry, I meant there wouldn't be. Sorry.
Well done, Thomas. Thomas, please don't take it as a slight in any way. I think we're all just a little bit fuzzy from EPP. So it's not at all a lack of interest. And I know the chat's full of comments commending you on your work, Thomas, and let's do that for the folks on AudioCast so that they can hear. Thomas, it's been a huge effort. Yeah, it makes the EPP look pretty small in comparison. So thank you very much from all of us to you.
Thanks so much to all of you for supporting this initiative. I do know that this was a big task, but the team was great, staff was great, the co-chairs were great. And I think that one of the reasons why I didn't have questions is that you've heard the substance of the recommendations already, and we're on the last mile of getting this done. So thanks again, and take care, all of you. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Thomas, very much. So let's then progress to the next item in our agenda, which is our discussion on PDP 3.0. We have this down really as a marker. We haven't spent as much time directly on PDP 3.0 as we maybe wanted to, certainly not in Panama. We didn't have as much time because we were focused on the effort of getting to this point, let's say, about half an hour ago. So my questions, let's say, for everyone are, let's bear in mind the way that this is presented on the council agenda is really a marker. We've asked that SGs and Cs to provide input by the 15th of August. We've given, about a month more time so we can all shift gears from what we've been working on. Thanks very much to Marie for following through with the action item from our wrap-up session. Marie has circulated to the council list the BC comments, and thanks, Marie, for doing that. So we all have about a month to get our SG and C comments in. What do we want to do once we get that input? Let's say, of course, we can incorporate that input into the document that we have, but I think we have some bigger picture questions here, which is, what do we do from there? How do we, first of all, integrate some of those recommendations into the PDPs that are already live? Do we want to have broader community consultation? I will say that this was a key point that was raised in our meeting with the GAC at ICANN 62, with the GAC wanting to know when they would have an opportunity to make some comments on what we had proposed in there by way of recommendations. How does everyone feel about this in terms of next steps? How do we take this forward, and what do we want to do vis-a-vis the community? Any strong thoughts here? Donna, please.
Thanks, Heather. Donna Austin. So I don't have any big planners to what we do next or how we deal with it. But I just want to draw a line under something. There are a number of us that have been involved in this work since the January session that will move off council in October. And I just wonder whether we can get some commitment perhaps from the council that is here today that whatever we do, that we can finalise it or wrap it up so it's in reasonably good shape by October. Because I, you know, we've all done a fair amount of work on this. We're pretty familiar with how we got to this point. Any new councillors coming in will have to ramp up and try to understand and pick this up if we don't get this to a near final state. So I wonder, Heather, if it's something that we could make a commitment to reach some kind of end point so that we're not leaving a little bit of a, I don't want to say mess, but we need to leave this in good shape for the next council that's coming. I know that Heather, yourself and I will, we're term limited, so we can't continue. I think Susan, it's the case. So I think there's a few of us that are in that situation, and I think it would be really good if we could commit to having something finalised or wrapped up by Barcelona so that we can, you know, have this wrapped up in a bow for the next iteration of the council. Thanks, Heather.
Beautifully said, Donna. Thank you very much, Rafiq.
Thanks, Heather. Just speaking. I support what Donna said. I mean, unfortunately, this effort or report was a kind of collateral victim of the EPDP for the last weeks. So I think we can aim, to finalize, to get this done, so the next council can take ownership and focus on implementation. As we extended already to mid-August in term to get input, and just to remind the different stakeholder group to for those who didn't do that yet to send their input. If we can target maybe mid-September as 1 month to amend or make changes in the report and so to have a final version in that time. So after, because prior to Barcelona, maybe it will be quite hectic and we don't know also how much will the attention will be again on the EPDP discussion. So if we can maybe agree on some specific date that give us some, I mean, a timeline that give us some guidance, but I do agree with Donna.
Thanks, Rafiq, very much. And I'll carry your comment and Donna's further. Let's say, Rafiq, you made some excellent points about timeline there. And I wonder if we could put forward as a proposal for what to do here some sort of broader community consultation, put it into the schedule for ICAM 63. That actually gives us a firm deadline for whatever it is that we want to do. And let's consider that we're working towards that as a target for telling the community what we have done. Mind you, we are working towards the ICAM 63 schedule right now, and Rafiq's got a tick there. So that at least gives us a solid target, you know, that we have to tell the community what we've done by October, and by community we include there the new council as well. I think it's the steps for how we get there that need to be decided. So we've got then, if you figure from mid-August to mid-September to mid-October, so 2 months effectively following the receipt of all of that feedback. To the extent that we have conflicting feedback, we'll need to take that into account. So, you know, don't want to discount the fact that we'll need some time maybe to integrate and resolve any sort of inputs that come in amongst ourselves here within the GNSO. As to this question of community consultation, do we want to do something more than, let's say, telling the community what we have done at ICAM 63? Do we need to have some sort of a feedback loop before that point, or are we comfortable with with simply reporting to the community in Barcelona. That will have a pretty significant impact on the timeline. So Carlos is suggesting in the chat some kind of a webinar or some way to package it nicely. I agree that having some way to communicate it is going to be helpful. But do we want to take input from the community beyond the input that we received in Puerto Rico, let's say? All right, so noting Carlos in the chat saying the handbook is too long, but something in that direction. All right, I think it's probably the case that we need to do a little bit more thinking on this. Is everyone comfortable with, as an action item, if leadership puts heads together to come up with a bit of a proposal for how we get to that public consultation, community consultation at ICAM63. Anyone object to us coming up with some ideas? Aiden's got a green tick. Yeah, we'll come up with a bit of a straw man and everybody can bash it up. Rafiq's got a tick. Great. All right, and I don't see any objections. So, Donna, Rafiq, if you're willing, the three of us can work together on that and see if we can work out a plan forward and get us that objective of some sort of tangible outcome that we can deliver to the wider community in Barcelona. Cool. All right. That then takes us to item 9, which is a discussion item instructing the Standing Selection Committee to reconfirm the GNSO appointments on the third ATRT review team. This is, of course, a tragic but necessary obligation here that we need to fill in terms of filling Stefan van Gelder's vacated spot. We have a pool of candidates that were initially considered by the SSC. That was the product of the EOI that was issued by ICANN.org. Does anyone object to instructing the Standing Selection Committee to returning to its candidate pool in order to fill that vacancy? Donna.
Thanks, Heather. Donna Austin. So this is something that I've had a conversation with the chair of the registry stakeholder group about. Obviously, Stefan was a member of our group. We also don't know if one of the other candidates will be willing to continue in the role, given there's been a change in circumstances. I'm referring to Brian Cute. So we're unsure whether Brian will be able to, or, you know, is interested in still being part of the ATRT3. But Paul Diaz and I had a different conversation, and that's given the candidate pool is now about 18 months old, whether there should be a new call for candidates. And the reason for this is that, you know, people's circumstances will have changed over that 18-month period. And I note that, you know, Tatiana has informed council leadership that, you know, even though she was interested 18 months ago, circumstances have changed and, you know, she's no longer not willing to serve, but circumstances have changed that she's withdrawn her candidacy. So, Heather, I wonder if we could perhaps have, you know, a conversation about whether there should be an opportunity for another call for volunteers, given folks' circumstances may have changed. And I know that puts some pressure on Susan and the SSC. And, you know, I also recognise that I'm not sure that there's, you know, the mechanism to be able to do that. But I think, you know, given it's about 18 months since that call for volunteers actually went out, whether there should be an opportunity to renew that in some way. Thanks, Heather.
Thanks very much, Donna. So let's come back to that point about a new call. Before we go to that, let's clear the queue. So Susan and then Tatiana.
Thanks, Heather. Susan Kawaguchi for the record. And Donna, you know, you actually were hitting on some points that I was going to make, so I appreciate that we're on the same wavelength. I do think that at the very least we need to go back and ask the current candidates if they're still willing to stand and participate. And then, you know, I don't know, I guess we could, if we did a new call for volunteers, I guess we could, if we ask them each, I'm sort of thinking through this on the fly here, but if we get a response that they would like to continue, then just add them, you know, acknowledge that they've already volunteered. What do we do with those that we did select that are willing to move forward still? Do we, you know, we have Stefan's and Tatiana's spot and maybe Brian's spot. So it looks like we need almost a full slate. But, you know, I haven't gone back and looked to see who was actually on the list, who we picked. But I also want to be really sensitive that there is no way that this could get delayed again, because I think that would be harmful to future calls for interest in volunteering. So do we know for sure the ATRT is going forward, or do we need to wait until after the comments from the community come in on that?
Thanks, Susan. I've made a note of that question as well, which I think we can comment on. But before we do that, let's go to Tatiana.
Thank you very much, Heather. Tatiana Trupina for the record. While in principle I don't mind issuing a new call, especially because particular stakeholder group candidates cannot serve anymore, I would like to protect NCSG interests here and suggest a compromise solution, because Wolfgang Kleinwächter was selected as one of primary candidates, and he is our candidate, and he is very capable and willing. Well, I hope he is still willing, but he is very capable and knowledgeable to serve on this ATRT review. So would it be possible, if he's still willing, to issue an additional call but still hold this place for him because he's already selected? If it's possible, then, of course, I personally wouldn't mind the additional call, but I think that we need to find a compromise here. Thank you.
Thanks, Tatiana. So a few points here, picking up on all the comments that have been raised. And we'll pick up Aidan's in the chat as well. So the first thing to say is that, you know, you might recall, and again, it feels like 100 years ago, that out of our January strategic planning session, one of the action items for leadership was to contact our representatives on ATRT3 to ask them if they were still at that point willing to serve. So it certainly is high time to do that again, given that more than 6 months have passed since then. In terms of the question of can the GNSO have another call, because that is actually a question, the GNSO did not run the call the first time. The call came from ICANN.org, and it went out to the wider community, let's say. So if we are going to have a call, I think we probably need, as a starting point, to ask ICANN.org if there are obstacles to us doing so. I think for efficiency's sake, since our staff are pretty busy with things, we could also ask org more broadly to run that for us. But I would also suggest that we ask other SOACs, we can do that through the SOAC chairs list, if they maybe need this as well. And it could be that the GNSO is not the only group in this position. And finally, on this business of should we wait until after the long and short-term review comments are in, I think that would be very sensible based on the comments that were made to the SOAC chairs by ICANN.org. They were effectively waiting for that feedback to happen. And you remember, I was actually the main person to ask for the delay in that until the end of July, because I knew there was really no way we were going to get that done on top of the EPAP charter. So org has been pushed back a little bit because of our requests by me. But I think we could also see the opportunity to ask org while we're asking about having another call what they envision the timeline to be. And if we get the answer back to be we don't see the timeline happening any soon, then that gives us some pause before we go ahead and ask for that call. So three responses there, and with that, I'll turn it over to Susan.
Thanks, Heather. And I agree with the thought that, you know, GNSO may not be the only part of the community that's, you know, may have volunteers that would not still be able to commit this time. So that's a good point. I just want to respond to Tatiana, and I can't, you know, I do not remember exactly how this all played out on the Standing Selection Committee, but we, each and every time we select candidates for a review team, we take a hard look at the representation we've selected from each of the stakeholder groups in the GNSO, and try to make sure that, you know, if for some reason, you know, a different stakeholder group got two seats the last time, that we wouldn't, we would balance that in the next selection. So, you know, it does depend on the pool of candidates, of course, but, you know, we try very hard to make sure that all of the stakeholder groups are represented. So, and we can do that again. And I can't answer, I think it was Aiden's question about Wolfgang. It seems to me if we selected him once, and this is my personal opinion, but if we went through and made that selection, then, and he's still willing to volunteer, it just seems like a natural point of view just to keep him on there and then select new other, you know, for the other seats, new people for the other seats. So, but, you know, I would have to go back to the whole Standing Selection Committee too and talk about that.
Thanks, Susan. Are we comfortable with, as a path forward, one, contacting the current ACRT, three, let's say, additional candidates, two, with communicating with ICANN.org to determine if another call can be done with the SOAC chairs to determine if they have the need of a similar procedure, and three, should we, or what is org's timeline in view of long and short-term reviews? Does that sound like a procedural path forward? Susan, your hand's up, but it might be an old hand. Okay, cool. Any objections to those three action items? Multiple attendees are typing. No objection from Pam. Cool. I don't see any hands up. Philippe, no objection. Brilliant. Excellent. And I agree with the statement that Keith has just made. It seems logical that the previously selected candidate should continue if still interested. I think that's the starting point. That's why I've got that down on the list as number one is, you know, let's contact the candidates, let's contact, then that's primary and additional. Let's understand the scope of what we have. It's unquestionable that we're dealing with, that we're dealing with extraordinary circumstances here, in at least in relation to one candidate. So, I can't see that org would have difficulty with that. All right. I see no objections. That gives us a path forward then for those things. I will make a start on those action items after the meeting. Any further comments then on item 9? No? Brilliant. Okay. Let's move to item 10. That's for agenda, which is any other business. Item 10.1 is item 63, planning. I will make a note here to say that the leadership communicated with all of the PDP working groups in relation to the travel support pilot, and a decision is forthcoming on that. We were aiming for the 20th of July for having that announced in view of the fact that there is a 22nd July deadline from constituency travel, so a reminder to all of us to make sure that our SGs and Cs have us recorded in relation to our own SGC travel. So we will do our very best to communicate with those. A funding pilot application in time to notify those folks for the 22nd. So that is one point to make. Staff have also put up here the ICANN meeting block schedule. It feels like we only just looked at this, and here we go, new meeting. Donna, I wonder, I don't mean to push you on the spot, it might be Donna or Marika or Natalie at this point. So Donna did attend the ICANN 63 planning session, which overlaps with our GMSO Council wrap-up. Donna, I don't want to put you necessarily on the spot. Marika and Natalie, I'm not sure. What do we need to say about this block schedule at this point?
Heather, it's Donna.
Go for it, Donna. Thanks.
I think probably what we can say is that, so you'll see that there's a reference to a high-interest topic and then cross-community topic session. High-interest topic is now loosely defined. I think if you scroll down underneath, yeah. So high-interest topic session is a session on an important topic of interest led by a single SOAC-SGC group. So what the registry stakeholder group did in San Juan, we had a session on a walk in the shoes of the new GTLD registry operators. And that, you know, it wasn't a cross-community thing, but we felt that it was still an important topic given, you know, we're discussing new GTLD. So that is considered a high-interest topic. And then the cross-community topic sessions are, you know, more the cross-community panel-type sessions that we saw in, particularly we saw in Panama. So there's now a distinction between those two. Among the planning committee, that's always been an area of contention. So I think it's good that that's, we might have hit on something that's acceptable to everybody. I'll also note that there's only three of these, you know, high interest plus cross community sessions planned for Barcelona, and I think that's probably because the public forums are back, given this is the bigger meeting. So I think that's the only thing I'd note. Heather, thanks.
Thanks, Donna, very much. That's super helpful. McKaylee, over to you.
Thanks, McKaylee, for the record. I mean, this is good to see that there's better clarity around what exactly is what. The only issue I have, though, with these cross-community high-interest things is that a lot of them have way too many speakers and just seem to be a kind of let's reiterate what we've all the positions that everybody knows we've held, but here I'm going to get bonus points for actually saying it in a different city. It's very rare that any of those sessions bring any new content or add any value. The level of interaction with the broader ICANN community at most of these sessions is abysmal. So the question I have really is, you know, what value do they really bring in their current format, or is there something that can be done with the format? I mean, be that reducing the number of speakers down to something more manageable. I mean, in many cases, seen these panels where there's like what seems to be like dozens of speakers. Obviously, I'm exaggerating, but there just seem to be a lot of speakers. And as I say, there's very little new content. There's no dialogue. It's just a, here's the opinion you know I'm going to take. I just don't see the value.
Thanks, Michele. Any further comments on this? So this is, of course, an ongoing thing. I think we have the next production call. I know it's fairly imminent. So we'll have a bit better sense of, and Natalie might tell us in the chat here, we'll have a bit better sense of 2nd of August. Cheers. Thanks, Natalie. We'll have a better sense of how this is going to look as we continue. But I think what we want to plan into this, building on what we said in the previous agenda items, is we want to work in some sort of time here for a way to talk to the community about PDP 3.0. And by community, we mean GNSO and otherwise. So we'll keep an eye on that as well. Any further comments, any instructions from anyone in relation to advice, in relation to leadership before they sit in on another one of these deeply joyful production calls? No? All right. Well, keep feedback coming via the list. We'll remind you before that 2nd of August call comes around, and to the extent that we've got any development between now and then we will let you know. So this one is to be continued. Excellent. All right, that takes us to item 10.2, which is an update on proposed updates to the consensus policy implementation framework and post-implementation consensus policy review framework. Staff, otherwise known as CPIS, staff have asked me to remind councillors that we have until the end of July to provide input on this. This is something that's been raised several times along the way. We've had staff here with us to explain what it is that we needed to know about this and give us some sense of where the proposed changes were. You see the document on the screen in front of you with the proposed amendments. We have said before, but I think it's worth saying again, you know, we all recognize this is an important effort, and it is integral to the GNSO Council's work, and unfortunately it just hasn't been, let's say, it's been overshadowed by some other things, which is why we're dealing with it now. So Don has asked a very good question in the chat, which is what happens if we don't provide input by the end of July? Donna, what I understand is, and to Carlos' point about an extension, it's not so much an extension. You know, this is GNSO staff and org staff that are working on this on our behalf. And Marika can make some comments here. Marika.
Yeah, thanks, Heather. This is Marika. So basically, what this is, as Heather noted, this I think was circulated already, back in March. You know, the updates that org has made, and specifically our GDD colleagues, are merely to clarify some of the roles and responsibilities that org has, and add some clarity. You see here on the first page, for example, instead of saying ICANN, it's ICANN org. So from our perspective, there is really nothing in here that changes or alters the way in which implementation is conducted. It's merely that it's from our perspective, an additional clarification and further detail on how some things work on the org side. And this was also something that was actually foreseen as part when this document was originally developed as part of the policy implementation working group activities. It was specifically foreseen in there that org would keep this up to date and make updates to it as needed. So this has been shared. Again, of course, this can be further delayed, but from our perspective, it would be great if that is done, because there is indeed a significant concern about what is being proposed. There are a number of red line changes in here, and I think as you can see, again, most of these are just clarifications or further detail with regards to how certain things are done when it comes to the implementation stage of things. There are no changes to what was originally proposed by the Policy Implementation Working Group or anything that affects existing processes and procedures. So what we can maybe ask, indeed, in principle, I think the Council got an extension until the end of July. So maybe have a quick look, and if you do believe that there are issues of concern, of course, we can extend the time, set up a separate time to talk through this or you know, reflect on what the concerns are and consider modifications. But I'm a bit worried that we're kind of delaying this for no really good reasons, apart from you know, we haven't had the time to look at it. Noting again that you know, this is not a change to what is in place or what is being done. This is merely intended to clarify and further detail some of the steps that go into implementation of GMSO adopted policies.
Thanks, Marika. So that, let's say, is an answer to, you know, the question of can we have more time? We can, but I think we want to do it in a structured way. So just noting Donna's question in the chat, can we provide this to the list along with Karen's presentation? That gives us that additional information that we can go back now with a bit of peace and quiet, look at this document again or for the first time if you didn't have a chance to look at it in the other points that's been raised with the council, and specifically focus here on the amendments that have been made. So let's take that as a starting point. Marika will recirculate that information to us to give us a bit more background. And maybe what we'll do is we'll say we'll give it a week or 10 days. Let's give it till the end of the month. And which puts us at a number of points, let's say, of things winding up at the end of the month. But we had said that anyway. By the end of July, let's make a determination of what we need our next step to be. If we need something tangible to have more information, then I think it might have been Carlos that suggested it further up. You know, let's have a webinar or something like that where staff, maybe Marika's suggesting, staff can walk us through, you know, any questions that we might have at that point or anybody who's still not quite caught up at that point. We can do it that way. So I think let's take stock on the 30th of July, and we'll work out at that point. Either we're establishing, you know, a time for a webinar, or we're instructing staff to move ahead. Does that sound like a reasonable way forward? Anyone object to that as a way forward? No. All right. Fabulous. The last item is the one that I'm sorry, not in a timely manner, had to add to any other business, and I'm mindful that we're 6 minutes over time, which is the GNSO review of the GAC communique, and that is in the able hands of Yulf. Yulf, I wonder if you could give us a quick update, please.
Sure. This is Yulf for the recording. There is a version that's been distributed. It had a couple of small corrections needed to be made, and it needed to be adjusted a little bit based on what we sort of discussed today. So the status is that there will be an updated version circulated, and we have about a week before we need to get it to the board. So hopefully we can get it approved by email before then.
Great. Thank you, Yulf, very much, and for championing that effort in the face of some pretty significant distraction. So please keep an eye on that for on the list. I know Erica has to leave, and I know folks have hard stops. So that takes us to the end of our agenda. Any comments, questions, concerns before we wind up our July meeting? Philippe, please.
Thank you, Philippe Foucault. Very quickly, I'm mindful of time. Just for your information, BNI were approached by BART, on the CCNSO front, BNI were approached by BART, Bossingham, to develop some sort of webinar on the CCNSO with elements relative to the GNSO. We haven't responded yet. I haven't responded yet. Probably a good idea, but as you might know, the CCNSO Council is in the process of trying to do outreach and improve participation, and that should be seen as an attempt to do just that. So that's one thing. Another thing for people's information, as you might know, the emojis, that study is still in progress, I think, within the CCNSO Council, and hopefully we'll have an update for the next GNSO Council meeting, hopefully. Thank you.
Perfect. Thanks, Philippe, very much, and thanks for your able service as our representative to CCNSO. Any further comments before we close off our July council meeting? No? Excellent. Congratulations, everybody. Big day today and big times ahead. Brilliant work by everyone, and thank you very much, particularly to the small team, for all the hard yards that they've done here in the last few weeks. This ends our July GNSL Council meeting. Thank you very much, everybody.